We are in week five of our series, One Who Serves, and it's a series for the season of Lent about the servant songs about Jesus in the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. And we began 5 weeks ago by talking about a bruised reed. And what we learned about this one who comes among us to serve is that a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In other words, he's gentle. He's gentle with people who have hurts and bruises and pain in their lives. He's gentle with people whose faith is not as strong as it should be, whose faith flickers and is weak. The one who serves is gentle. Then Marty talked about the song where it says, "Can a mother forget her child?" And we talked about how just absolutely unlikely it is that a mother could possibly forget her own child. But Isaiah writes for God that even if a mother would forget, God says, "I will never forget. I have engraved you on the palm of my hand." Then Marty, on Confirmation Sunday, led us through a conversation about the Word of God that sustains us. It sustains us when life is difficult, when life is good, when we're uncertain. The Word of God, Jesus, sustains us. Last week, we talked about Isaiah chapter 53 and the verses that say, "He was pierced for our transgressions." What happened to Jesus happens to me. He takes what I deserve, and instead I get what he deserves, which is righteousness. Today, we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 55. So let's take a look at that. While you're getting there, let me tell you it's on page 602. If you picked up a blue Bible, page 602. If you have your own Bible, I'm in Isaiah chapter 55. Let me tell you that today's theme is to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Okay, that's part of what we're doing here. And these words were written to a people, the people of Israel, who had lost everything. They had lost everything. The foreign land had come in and destroyed Jerusalem, their city, destroyed their temple, had taken people away into exile, some into slavery, all into a culture. They had no idea what was going on. They lost it all. And so the one who serves, this servant, comes with some invitations this morning. We're going to read it all the way through, and then I'm going to come back and we'll do some stuff with the verses. So he says, chapter 55, verse 1, page 602, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me, listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. For he has endowed you with splendor." Okay, let me just stop there for a second. Remember that God is writing to a people that have lost everything. They have, instead of having nations come to them because they're so beautiful, their nation's so beautiful, they have instead been taken away into foreign nations. So God is writing of a time of great hope. Verse 6, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth, and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So it is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but I will accomplish, what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and the trees and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of briars the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. This servant song, which is what these chapters in Isaiah are called, this servant song has three verses, three stanzas to it. And so I'm going to go through those three stanzas. They're each an invitation. So over the last weeks, we've heard about a servant, one who comes, Jesus, who's gentle, who never forgets, who sustains, who was pierced so that we might be the children of God. We've heard about this servant. Now, the servant himself comes and invites us to come to him. So he begins with this first stanza. It is an invitation to satisfaction. He says, come and buy without money. Those of you who are thirsty, let me satisfy this. Let me satisfy that in you. It's an invitation to satisfaction. For a people who have lost everything, who have just subsisted, the servant says, you will dine on the richest of fares. You will have something that finally satisfies you. You see, the servant understands that all of us have a longing inside of us, something that cannot be satisfied here on earth. We try. We try as hard as we can. We go get the best education we can, but eventually we run out of time to get more knowledge, or the knowledge itself disappoints us. We go and find the best career we can, but eventually we have to retire, or eventually we get laid off, or eventually we've spent all of our time on our career and lost so much else in our life. We try to satisfy the stuff of our lives. But there is something about our soul that cannot be satisfied here on earth. But God is good. He gives us glimpses that whet our appetite for this satisfaction. One of the things about this time of year, about being a pastor, and now for Jeanette and I being parents, is it's wedding season. It's wedding season. So we get these wedding invitations in the mail. I'm going to go in Memorial Day, and I'm going to do a wedding for dear friends from here. Their son's getting married, and it's going to be a blast. In July, I'm going to Winter Park, Colorado, to do a wedding for dear friends of ours whose son is getting married. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And then right after that, I'm going to Chicago to do a wedding for my own son. And I can tell you what, that is going to be a lot of fun. You see, I know these people. I know the friends that live in Dallas now. I know their generosity. I know the way in which they enjoy life. I know we're going to eat well. I know we're probably going to drink well. I know that we're going to dance and have fun and be reunited with friends we haven't seen in a while. I know it's going to be a great party. And for a moment, you get a glimpse of what heaven could be like. I know the people in Colorado, and I know how generous they are, and I know how much fun we're going to have. And it's Colorado in July. And I know that Jeanette's family and my family and Becky's family are coming to Chicago. And we are going to, for just a few days, be all together. And we're going to have fun and laugh and cry. And life is going to be the way we always hoped it would. But at the end of July, Jeanette's got to come back and go to work. The end of July, I have to come back and go to work. But in His goodness, God gives us a glimpse of a satisfied life. But it never stays. It always goes away. And so the servant comes with an invitation to you and to me. Come and buy without money, without cost. Let me do it for you. The servant comes and says, why spend your labor and your money on things that will never satisfy you anyway? He says, come to me and delight in the richest of fare. Let me satisfy you. And he goes on to say that I will establish an everlasting covenant with you. This is no fleeting wedding reception. This is no weekend of joy and bliss. This is an everlasting covenant. This will never end. And so the invitation of the servant, the one who comes to serve us, is come to me and let me satisfy you. Now remember, this was written and said to a people who had lost everything. To a people who were broken and hurting, heart. But it's said to you and me as well. Because there are hurts and heartaches and brokenness in our life too. And He says, come, let me satisfy you. Second stanza or verse of this song is an invitation to a restored relationship with God. He writes it this way, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and He will have mercy on them, and to our God, for He will freely pardon. He's writing to a people, again, who've lost everything. The reason they've lost everything is they went after other gods. They were not satisfied with their God. They thought other gods could survive, could satisfy them or help them or make their lives more full. And so they chased after other gods until finally God said, no, this is not how it's going to go. And they were taken away into exile. Now, I'm guessing those people in exile must have thought, will we ever be able to go back to God? I mean, look at what we have done. But the one who serves, the servant Jesus, comes with an invitation to a renewed and restored relationship with God. He says, no, come, come, those of you who have wandered, those of you who are unrighteous, those of you who had made terrible decisions in life, come, and He will be merciful. He will freely pardon you from those sins. I often wonder when I'm up here praying in worship. Now, I'm thinking about praying, so it's usually before or after I get back down to my seat. I often wonder if I were to just say at some point in the prayers, all right, everybody just join in. How many of you would know exactly what I was going to say? Because some of you have been here for years, and I say the same thing every week. Father, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, make us a people of grace. That we would live lives of grace, that we would speak words of grace, that we would be crystal clear about who Jesus is and who He loves. So there would be more people in heaven on the last day. And here's why we pray that. Because not just the people of Israel wonder, can they ever get back to God? The people on your street, The people who work where you do, the people who go to the same schools you do, they are wondering, what does God think of them? And most of them, and that maybe seem like a strong statement, but I'm telling you, most of them are pretty sure that God is mad at them because they have not lived the way they know they should. They're pretty sure that some decision they made in the past or some failure or the weakness of their faith or the wandering, they're pretty sure that God doesn't care about them anymore. But the servant, the one who comes among us to serve, the one who himself guarantees mercy and a free pardon, can stand in front of you and me and broken people in the world like us and say, come to me, I will restore and renew your relationship. And here's why he can say it. Because he's the one who purchased it for us. His arms were stretched out on a cross. Nails were driven in. He was abandoned, mocked, persecuted, bloodied, beaten, gasping for air. And none of that actually paid for us. Here's what paid for us. The fact that he took every sin, failure, and mistake in your life. And to be clear, he took every sin, failure, mistake in the lives of my neighbors, the people who go to school where I do, and the people who work where I do, and the people who like to do the same things I like to do. He took every sin. And he paid the price. So that the servant can come with an invitation. Look, those of you who are unrighteous, me. Those of you who have gone wicked ways, me. Return. Seek the Lord, because he will show you mercy. I guarantee it. He will freely pardon. I'll guarantee it. So he invites us. He invites us to come and be satisfied in him. And he invites us to come and have a renewed and restored relationship with God. This is the one who comes to serve us. The third stanza is an invitation to trust in God. This might be the hardest of all three. Because here's how the servant starts this invitation. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Here's the invitation to trust. The servant knows that oftentimes in life, it doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. We ask, we beg, we plead with God to do something, and it doesn't happen. We look at the world around us, and we feel like it's spinning out of control, and we wonder, how can this be happening? Where is God? I've been called, I think lovingly, a control freak. And I tend to do that in my prayers, too. You see, I'm pretty sure I know how it ought to go. If he would just listen to me. But God comes with an invitation. The servant comes with an invitation. And he says, look, even when it doesn't make sense, even when you've begged and pleaded and it didn't happen, even when life around you seems to be falling apart and it makes no sense, trust me. Trust me, because my thoughts are higher than yours. My view of life is bigger than yours. My ways don't even compare to yours. As the heavens are above the earth, that's how high I am above you. So trust me. Trust me. Very, very hard to do. But then God gives us a reason why we ought to trust him. He says in verse 10, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to heaven without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. Here it is, verse 11. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will never return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. There's an interesting sort of play in the Bible about the word. You know, oftentimes, most of the time, it's about spoken words. But there's a point in John's gospel, in John chapter 1, where he raises the stakes about the word. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and nothing that was created apart from Him. And the stakes that John is raising is he's saying the Word of God is Jesus. Interestingly, that's why every part of the Bible points to Jesus, because He's the Word. He says nothing that was created without Jesus. So he's taking us back to Genesis chapter 1, where the Bible says God said what? Let there be, and there was. He spoke it. His word made it happen. John is saying that that word was Jesus. Jesus' word comes from the mouth of the Father. And here's what he says. Anytime my word goes out, it accomplishes that for which I sent it. It does not come back empty. It makes it happen. I need you to turn with me to one other place in the Scriptures. I need to go to the Gospel of John, chapter 19, page 880, if you have a blue Bible. Page 880, John chapter 19, if you have your own Bible. I'm going to begin with verse 28. Jesus is hanging on the cross. He's been beaten, spit upon, mocked, nailed to a cross, wearing a crown of thorns. He's hanging there. Beginning with verse 28. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. Again, hearkening back to Isaiah 55. All of you who are thirsty, come drink from me. He becomes thirsty for us. That's not the point I want to make. As a jar of vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. You see, Isaiah 55, the invitation is to trust God. Trust him even when it doesn't make sense, because the word of God never fails. Jesus is hanging on the cross, the Word of God. He says it's finished. It's done. It's paid for. Your sins are washed. Your place in heaven is secure. Your life is mine. I have purchased you. It is finished. It is done. The Word of God never returns empty. And Jesus did not return empty. So the servant comes to the people of Israel, and he comes to us, and he comes with three invitations. Come and be satisfied. Come and get a renewed and restored relationship with God. And come and trust me. Trust me. Even in circumstances that seem hard to do. And here's the last thing I'm going to say. He says in verse 12, when this all happens, you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of thorn bush, again back to Genesis, when Adam and Eve sinned, Adam was told, you still are going to till the ground, but now what you're going to get is thorns. He says, instead of thorns, there's going to be junipers, and instead of briars, there's going to be myrtle. He says, this will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. When the invitation of the servant is accepted, we will find satisfaction. We will have our relationship restored. We will be able to trust in God. And we will go forth with shouts of joy. The brokenness, disease, junk of our lives will be turned backwards. And I love the way that this hymn ends, this song of servants in Isaiah 55. He says all of this, the invitation to be satisfied, to have a renewed relationship and to trust in God, all of this is for the renown of God, so that the world will know how great He is, how loving He is, how much He cares about His people. It's all for the glory of God. All of this will be for the Lord's renown. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give You thanks and praise for the grace that we have in You. We ask that You would be with us, watch over us, and give us the grace of Your Holy Spirit to hear the call and the invitation to seek the Lord while He may be found, that we might be satisfied, restored, and in a trusting relationship with You. Father, all of this we pray because we can in Jesus' name. Amen.